Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there. Welcome to Force Center Presents Data Bank Dive. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and Data Bank Dive is the show where we dive into the data bank. And then also Wikipedia, we pick a noun, a character, a place, a vehicle, a weapon, something weird, wild, wondrous, fun in Star Wars, and then we discuss the hell out of it for about a half an hour. We did a season of this show on the great science fiction app, The Companion. So if you want to check out that original season that I believe launches off with Boba Fett's knee darts, you can go check out The Companion. But we are happy to continue to discuss right out here in public, in front of everyone, all the weird stuff in Star Wars.
The storefront. And shout out to our buddy who we got to finally hang out with in London, Tommy Valentine, who works over The Companion, that made that possible. It was a lot of fun and spawned this full-on show here. And we're going to get into it shortly. But we do want to also let you know about our Patreon page. We are just thrilled with the support over there, the continued support throughout the years. It really makes the show possible. And if you want to check it out and get exclusive shows like Will of the Force, our monthly show, our series right now ongoing with Indiana Jones, the Perilous podcast leading up to Dial of Destiny, join the journey over there, patreon.com/Force Center. But Joseph, we've got a fun, grumpy topic today on Data Bank.
I think we're in the perfect mood to record this episode.
This is a character I've found myself identifying with, and that should always be a problem. But the character today is Grease, full name Grease Dritus. That is a name. I don't know if that surname was out there in the video game, but in the book Battle Scars, it was there. And I'll say this right now before we dive in, Joseph, we are recording this episode a little bit ahead of time before Jedi Survivor was released, before we got our grubby little hands on it, and before you and I both completed Battle Scars, the book by Sam Meggs that leads into that game. So we're kind of discussing Grease as we know him coming out of the Jedi video game, the
Fallen Order.
Why am I blanking? I was going to say Jedi First Order. That's not it. That's not the game.
I pause every time on Jedi Survivor because I just want to call it Jedi Fallen Order 2 or Jedi Fall Harder. Like, I want the titles to be more connected than just Jedi colon. That's the way I'm going to refer to this series. You know what? Best video game series ever. Jedi colon.
And I'm not a fan of Star Wars Jedi colon whatever. I don't know, that it trips me up. It's not a bad thought. It just trips me up. I'm with you. So anyway,
more colons than Dexter Jetster probably has. Star Wars colon Jedi colon.
Zinga.
Another bad thing happened.
I love that. So Grease, of course, featured in Fallen Order, the name I definitely know because I played the game. And he's a fascinating character. We're going to find out more about him and ask the question, how weird is Grease? Here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Grease. The captain of the Stinger Mantis, the four-armed Latero Grease Dritus, is an adept pilot who works for Cheer Junda. Can I just not say words today, Joseph? Cheer Junda. Known for his gruff nature and curmudgeonly demeanor, Cheer is the only person in the galaxy who Grease appears to hold in high esteem. Ooh, we'll dive into that, I'm sure. All right, if my tongue will allow me to, we're going to read more. This is from Wikipedia. Despite his history of gambling, Grease was one of the most risk-averse members of the Stinger Mantis crew. He repeatedly expressed hesitation when asked to travel to dangerous planets such as Dathomir and later confessed to being highly intimidated by Night Sister Marin. I mean, who wouldn't be? He hated nature and constantly cooked meals for the crew. That's a constantly cooked, like I didn't really concentrate on that before putting this together. He also had a terrarium behind a wall of Umbaran glass and was grateful when Calcast had collected seeds for it. Grease Dritus was introduced in the 2019 video game Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Hey, the name is right there. And according to the game's director, Stig Asmussen, who is a friend of a friend. It's weird. I want to talk to Stig about this because the inspiration for Grease was John C. Reilly and the character Ralph Furley from the sitcom Three's Company. Fascinating. We might not be done with that. All right, Joseph, that's a lot here. Quick reactions to some of the descriptions before we get into it.
Yeah, no, I'm coming at this from only knowing Grease and the last name Dritus from the video game Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I have not even cracked, as of this recording, Battle Scar. Okay. So I know nothing. Looks like I'm going to be a little bit behind on playing Jedi colon Survivor. So all of my Grease relationship at the moment is from the video game, and I absolutely loved him in the video game. I love that name, Grease Dritus. It's a great Star Wars name, but it also sounds like a swear word that the Mandoverse would make up to give some break to Dank Ferrick. Grease Dritus. So we'll talk more about all the details, but a great classic grumpy sidekick character and kind of perfect for a video game. I love the way the Wikipedia is really trying to talk about Grease like a living, breathing character, which of course he is. But so many of the things that the way it's written are about video games of like, he repeatedly expressed hesitation, you know, because that video game thing of like, well, the ship is parked. I'm wandering around killing animals and trying to find kyber crystals. And every time I check in with Grease, he's got about three things to say. And one of them is, I don't know about Dathomir. And the same thing with you put the seeds in and you're like, ah, thanks, or whatever it is in the video game. I don't remember. But it's like, yep, There's just a little bit of that sort of a disconnect between reality and video games. He loved it when you put in the seeds because his voice was cued to go, thanks.
Thanks, indeed. He really did. This is amazing. I'm laughing already. Wonderful stuff here. We're going to get into it here with a description of Grease. But I'll say this. Yeah, I immediately took to him as well. He curmudgeonly a grump. That describes me for most of my life. So I connect with him right away. And just perfect for the driver of a video game, right? Exactly what you're saying. You just come back, connect into him, and he's got something snarky to say, because of course. But Joseph, we are going to physically describe Grease for those who maybe aren't at a computer pulling up Wikipedia. How would you describe Grease Dritus?
He's squat with forearms. He's either got a little bit of a beer belly or a beer crotch, because there's a sort of whole body bulge there, which is beautiful, lovely. Definitely looks like a grump with the heart of gold, which he of course is. He's got that classic Star Wars vibe of like, what if we took a kind of more classic alien design and then just put a lot of pressure on the alien's head and squashed him a bit. It might be the Ralph Furley inspiration, for anybody who isn't just extremely well-versed in Three's Company. That is the actor Don Knotts playing a little bit of that sort of 70s lounge character who is past their prime. I don't know if it's that, but I can't look at Grease without thinking of basically just a lot of dated references, Ken. Grease somehow reminds me of Leisure Suit Larry from those old video games. I understand they've been updated. There's a vibe there. And then those mutton chops makes him look like a U.S. president from the 1800s. So that's who I think he is. Leisure Suit Larry meets a U.S. president from the 1800s.
He's Martin Van Buren if he ran a gentleman's club on a video game in the 80s. Oh, no. Oh no!
There's something there with the Ralph Furley and the Leisure Suit Larry, and the way that the way those collars are opened, and he's got a medallion, you know, and it just it really looks like he's been involved in some key parties.
Yeah, just put your keys in the bowl. We'll see what happens. Yes, and you know what? I'm still early on in Battle Scars, the novel. It's one of the more adult novels that's got some stuff in there that a lot of people are discussing. So this fits for Grease, that he'd just be part of that as well in his own Grease-like way. Great description of him. The forearms, literally the forearms. You're right, the gut slash he's just, you know, he enjoys his beer clearly, and why shouldn't you? I am obsessed with the facial hair configuration, and I want to know more about if that's cultural from his planet. He's a Latiro. It's kind of a species not explored as much in Star Wars, so I want to see others. This is like the Yoda Yaddle thing from Phantom Menace. I want a Grease. Where's a Grease? An ex-wife of Grease that we can figure some stuff out.
You're right. That hair is the facial hair, the sideburns, mutton chops, half head hair. It's so big that it really changes the shape. And it really is like that. You know, sometimes when you shave or a person shaves and then it's like, I didn't know my face was shaped that way. Or like, who's that tiny little rat person? Like, is his face actually like quite thin looking when you shave?
Yeah, gosh, I haven't shaved to a zero in a bit. Now I'm worried I'm going to be like Grease. Oh, no. What will I discover there? What will I discover there? Well, from that wonderful description of Grease, we'll dive into some more stuff. This is still around the description here. What makes him fit into the Star Wars aesthetic more? Is it his forearms, the Dexter Jetster style, or is it his sideburns, which definitely seem to either have exploded from 1977 or 1877 is the debate. That's the point you make, but and it could be more. It could be more things. And I'm curious about that. But I was trying to, is it both? Is it one or the other? Because he feels so 77 Star Wars to me. And I'm trying to pinpoint that.
He really does. I think it's partially because he's dirty.
He's lived in.
He's lived in. I mean, it sounds mean and like I'm making fun of him, but his ship, his vibe, it has that, you know, the prequels had a lot of a cleaner look as we spent times in Coruscant and Naboo and in elegant high-end places. And, you know, the original trilogy, we saw broken down places at the Falcon and Rebel bases. And he just got a little bit more of that, like, yeah, I washed my jacket 2 years ago. What's the problem? He's got that vibe. Mm-hmm. The mutton chops are really great. And that maybe is a kind of connection to some of the weird, surprising hairstyles in retrospect that they've actually, you know, made canonical of, like, well, people from Alderaan had that hair, 70s hair, facial hair. Mm-hmm. The forearms helps. The jacket design helps. The ribbed sleeves that are the Star Wars design. But you know what the biggest thing for me is, Ken, is he's got Muppet vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Muppets that appeared on Saturday Night Live that first season.
Yeah.
Space Muppets, almost Fraggle Rock Muppets.
It's a little bit of the shape of the head in the mouth, too, is just sort of like I can see him, you know, complaining to Grover about something in his soup. I can see him giving Kermit grief. He's got high Muppet vibes.
He just goes up to Cal and goes, near.
Far.
Yeah.
Far from Dathomir.
Oh, that's amazing. No, you're right. And there's something, at least in the first game, I'm sure he's going to get an update on an outfit. I think I've seen some of the photos here from Survivor, but Fallen Order, it is a little bit of that burnt red over silver vibe. He's definitely hung out at Chalmers Spaceport Cantina, and it shows. And I just, I really love that. As weird as this, you know, right? Oh my God, I'm looking at this one photo too. He looks like a squished down, beakless version of Sam the Eagle as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The coloration, the sort of the sternness of his eyes. Yeah.
Wow. The fur.
You're all weirdos.
Yeah. Sam the Eagle, one of the more interesting Muppet characters ever created. We'll do that on Muppet Center. So we've stumbled onto this already, but I will highlight the question here, maybe return to some of our answers here. Hearing this, the games director Stig Asmussen is saying that John C. Reilly and Ralph Furley are part of the inspiration for Grease. What does that mean to you? You've analyzed it a little bit with Don Knotts' Ralph Furley, but when you hear those two names together in this character, where does your mind go?
I think saying not a specific John C. Reilly character, but the general oeuvre of John C. Reilly, I think of Grumpy, but with a heart of gold, and Grumpy, but with flair. Like maybe a little loud, a little the first to complain, but still very active and animated. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little while since I've really, really absorbed Three's Company. But Don Knotts is always grumpy, but with flair and grumpy, loud, grumpy, happy to tell the opinion. Like those are some of the vibes that I get.
That's a great pull. Yeah, that's a great pull on that. I remember Don Knotts, Ralph Furley. First of all, you know, that was a salacious show for a youngster like me to watch. I was not necessarily allowed to watch that in my house growing up. But when I would sneak a peek, there was a lot of youth with a little sexual tension in their heart. And Furley was the bucket of water on that, you know, just kind of always up to what's going on here. You roommates or not. Yeah, it was all that vibe. So that kind of tracks.
I love that for Grease to take if that's the role. If he's like, hey. Is anybody making eyes at each other on my ship?
Well, and it's so fascinating.
No funny business in the terrarium.
There's only, I won't go into Battle Scars. I really won't. But there's one beat in early on Battle Scars. It's a Grease point of view, part of a chapter. And he's got Furley vibes of like, and look at them cavorting. Like, it's fascinating. And whether or not the author Sam Maggs looked to this as an inspiration as well, or it's a great little chapter. So that tracks. And I think it's a great pull. You're really getting into the Furley of it all, and I like that. as far as the John C. Reilly, I guess it's him. John C. Reilly's a big presence for not being, you know, a Tom Cruise leading man type. He's just he's taller too. He's a bigger dude. Grease is not taller, but yeah, there's a presence, John C. Reilly, that fills the screen, and he's such a great actor. Like I think of like his grumpy. He was the catcher in the baseball movie For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. He was the struggle to get a double, grumpy, friendly, best friend catcher in the game. That kind of works for me. His character, Steve Brule, one of my all time favorite kind of comedy characters, has a little bit of a Grease vibe, but Grease is a little, I'd say, more intelligent than that. But it's an interesting role. It's a great, and I love it. That's why I wanted to highlight it. It's like, I would not have predicted that, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
We kind of touched on this, but does Grease make you think of other people or characters? We got Sam the Eagle, we got Leisure Suit Larry, all kind of works. So I think we already answered it, but any other names pop up?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, for me, he is the grump with a heart of gold. Like he made me think of Ben Grimm, the Thing from Fantastic Four, Marvel comic books. This is maybe a little bit more of a loaded 70s, 80s reference, but Archie Bunker from All in the Family.
That's a great one. Yeah.
That the complex, people have complex feelings about that show. The intent to me at the time as I was growing up was to show that Archie's beliefs were not great and he was changing. So I don't want to put that on on Grease. But there's so many examples of the grump with the heart of gold, and that's what I really gravitate toward.
Yeah, and the only other one I think of is physically and aura wise might be Danny DeVito in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as Frank Reynolds, but also as Danny DeVito outside of the show, who's still kind of that character in some ways, though it's similar Archie Bunker, despicable character that doesn't change. But even if you watch, like I watched recently, they have the It's Always Sunny podcast now, and he finally guested. He found his way to the studio, and it's a wonderful episode. He shows up late, and then it has to go to the bathroom, and they have to stop the episode, but they keep going. But it's like, has Danny DeVito become a character of himself? That's the question. Just a character of what we think all of his characters are. And Grease has that vibe, including it's mutton chops on Grease, but Danny has, especially on the show, has the hair that looks like Grease's mutton chops just coming out the side of his head. So it's all kind of
flip to the top. Nice.
Yeah. Former Jedi Seer Junda is said to be the only person Grease holds in high esteem. That's what Wikipedia claims there. So what do you think it takes to get onto his good side? How do you get on Team Grease?
Well, seeds and more seeds. bring him seeds for his terrarium. Like, yeah, I love the whole vibe. Like, yeah, I don't really want to go places. I got some gambling problems, so I guess I'll do this, but I don't really. But I love seeds. Talk more about it. But I think since he is proceeding from a little bit of a fearful place, and some of that grump, I think, is probably a shield to mask some of his fear. Mm-hmm. I think Sarah is somebody who provides both physical and emotional security. She is a badass who can help keep him safe, and she's been around long enough that his guard has come down and he trusts her.
I love that. Great description of it there. And that, yeah, Grease, I think he's also the type that just kind of like, if you kind of leave him alone and you get your bleep done, and the check's by the box and the finish line is crossed and you don't cause him too much grief, even though he might cause some of the grief himself, I think that also is how he looks. He's kind of like a grumpy football coach. You just like, you get on that field and do your job. Don't cause me problems. I think there's a little bit of that too, but he's going to respect you. Even if Marin causes him some grief, or Cal or BD1, I think at the end of the day, he's just happy you're on the team. And he's, I think, is more lonely than he lets people know. And he just likes having you all around. He just doesn't necessarily want to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't really have that much of a neck, but he sticks it out for friends anyway.
He does. I'll stick out my hair for you. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Databank Dive. When we come back, we got more Grease, including a deep philosophical question that he proposes, and maybe we try to answer here. So here it goes. We're going to take a break. More Databank Dive on the other side.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Databank Dive. I'm Ken Namsok. That's Joseph Scrimshaw. We're in the virtual studio. We're taking a look at Grease Dritus on the StarWars.com databank. Of course, a key member of the Jedi colon survivor slash fallen order crew. He's the captain, so to speak, of the Stinger Mantis. We are going through also Wikipedia and then also, also on the .com entry here, Joseph. Grease is said to hate nature, yet he keeps a terrarium that Cal, as you mentioned, helps collect seeds for. We also got the thing I should add in. He is a gambling addict who does not like taking risks. What can we learn from Grease about the duality of man or the duality of beings in the galaxy that can be found in all of us? Do you take any lessons from him?
Yes, I think that a possible explanation for Grease's duality and perhaps some of our own is often what we fear, what we hate is a lack of control. It seems like Grease has a couple things he loves, but they become based in fear when they are beyond his control. So like the nature for sure, the idea that I hate nature, I don't like it, blah, 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 but I love it if I can take a tiny curated part of it.
Yeah.
And put it behind, what was that, Umbaran glass?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is very safe. Yeah, but it is a great, it pops in that Wikipedia. He hated nature and collected seeds. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he hates mail, but he collects stamps. But to me, that is about it. Like, I struggle with nature sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have literally been outside and trying to walk somewhere and a weird plant touches my legs and I will literally say out loud, I hate nature. I hate outside. I hate outdoors. It's not true. I hate not knowing what I'm getting into. I hate not being prepared for it. At this point in my life, one of my favorite things to do is go to some sort of park or beach. But it's because I know what to expect. It's contained. I'm prepared. And I'd probably love nature even more if I took the effort to, you know, get proper clothing, resources, knowledge, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of it. I love this, but I can't control it. And I'm afraid of the immensity of it, but I love it when I can get a little small piece of it.
This is a great analysis of it, of everything going on here. Yeah. I think Greece, yeah. If I can grow it and cultivate it and stare at it in the comfort of the stinger mantis, I'm on board, but he want me to go crawling around Dathomir when some of those plants could eat me? No, absolutely not. And I think it's okay to live in that. I got to get back to it after the rains here in LA, but I love going hiking, but I go to Griffith Park where there's some very clear trails and I don't go off of them. And I got a friend who does he and his wife do the hikes where they like, I don't know, we end up in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas and we find a place to, and they're gone for 5 days. And I'm like, that's how you die. And I'm not doing it. So, I could see it. And same with the gambling versus, he doesn't take the risks. I think, a lot of gamblers, I am a casual one when I'm in front of a Wheel of Fortune slot machine, feel as though they have a sense of control. It's probably a lie, clearly, but they have a sense of, yeah, I know what I'm doing here, versus, again, landing on Dathomir, which is not a safe bet. So I love that.
Yeah. Love it too.
We talked a lot about how he looks, how he acts. So the, question we get to a lot here on the show is, what is the magic of Grease? What does he bring to the Star Wars saga?
I think in some ways he is just such a great spin on the Han Solo archetype. Mm-hmm. And I think Star Wars has gotten so big, so expansive that not everything is about the archetypes that we first met in the original trilogy anymore. Mm-hmm. But certainly in this era, a grumpy spaceship captain who isn't sure if they want to join the fight, but is there for their friends at the end of the day. It's hard not to think of the Han Solo archetype. So to me, I think part of his magic is he is tapping into what we love about this archetype in Star Wars, but still managing to become his own character. He's Han. If Han was a Muppet and really liked cooking. But he's still a grump with a heart of gold and forearms. And perhaps most importantly, he's not wrong about Dathomir. Like,
no, yeah.
I'm excited to go there. I was extra excited to go there when I could finally jump high enough. I went there too early in the game.
Dathomir slide, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had that anti-power fantasy. We're like, all right, I'm going to take this on. Then I get to a place like, it looks like you can't jump this high yet. Like, and I had to go back. So I listened to Grease complain about Dathomir a lot. And look, everything on Dathomir, with the exception of Marin, wants you to die. So he's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. No, wonderful to connect like the Han Solo of it all. But it's like this total like the old, like if in New Hope we met Force Awakens Han. Like that was the thing there, a different version of it. Love that there. Let's look at some other maybe more personal takes on Grease. He is a character from a very well received video game, and he's clearly a supporting character. But I asked a question, and you might have accidentally answered this early on in the show. I didn't think of that. What kind of video game would you want to see Grease be the lead in? What kind of Grease game would you want to play?
Yeah, I mean, not Leisure Suit Dritus. I don't think that's quite right.
No? Okay. Fair.
I want a video game called Coruscant Crackup, and this would be a racing game in the vein. I don't know if you ever played this. I don't even remember how many systems it was available for, but did you ever play Simpsons Road Rage?
I did. I absolutely did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was just all the weird vehicles and the weird characters, and it was just an exceedingly violent... It's called Road Rage for The Simpsons. Just brutal racing game. And I would love to play Grease like as kind of a New York cabbie type character flying through Coruscant, trying to, you know, pick up rides and get people on time and just smashing through everything.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there also a game called Space Cab back in the arcade? Like,
probably. I never played that one.
I think I remember playing it on the Commodore 64. And it was hard to land the cab on the platforms because if you picked up too much speed, you crashed. And I can see that working for Grease. So Grease's special delivery could be the game. But I'm obsessed with this idea that Grease constantly cooks. He's like my late grandmother from Ukraine who eat, Kenny was the way of life because she was going through the war and food was scarce. So every time I go to their house, it was pierogies until my brains fell out. It was homemade cream cheese or cheesecake with this weird cream cheese thing she put on it. And it's just like, and then we'd go to El Pollo Loco. They went every day, her and my grandfather, and just like, eat, Kenny, eat. And so I just think when I hear constantly or read constantly cooking, that's Grease to me. Like, yeah, you know, the Empire's got all the food here. You got to come on. Yeah, I'm going to cook you a meal. I want a game where it's like Grease's kitchen. Not quite the game I want for managing Dexter's Diner, but it's like you got to get orders out constantly.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. I would happily play that one.
Yeah. Oh, it was like a Burger Time, but for Grease. How does Grease's ship, the Stinger Mantis, rank for you as a spaceship that doubles as a home? I don't need a full ranking. We're not here to disparage other ships, but there's a lot of ships in Star Wars that are ships, but really they're homes. And Stinger Mantis definitely has that vibe. Where do you place it?
I place it pretty high because it's realistic. You look at the shape of that ship, and they're unlike some Star Wars ships where, like, the Falcon famously, you actually can't make the internal and external space work together. Mm-hmm. If you want more on that, go find Pablo Hidalgo's tweets. I'm fine with raising the fantasy. But it's like living in a long trailer. You know, it's not that many places to hide, but it does have a nice seating area in the terrarium. It's lovely. So it ranks pretty high for me.
Yeah, no, I was looking at it a little more closely than I had in the past. And I like the design of the ship, and it's a yacht. It's like kind of a luxury yacht type of model. So I've always said that the Razor Crest is one of my favorite ships in Star Wars for a lot of reasons. It is kind of a Volkswagen van in space, but that's a one-man operation. If you got a team, you got a home, I think this ranks pretty high for me. The Falcon's one of my all-time favorite ships, but I don't – the Falcon, as we know it, doesn't seem like the most comfortable living environment. So and the Ghost seems great, but I don't know how the Ghost works. I'm convinced it has secret chambers that don't actually fit into the design of the ship. It's so spacious on the inside, but on the outside, it doesn't look that big to me. But I think I spent a lot of time in the Stinger Mantis, and it's got a terrarium, so you can look at plants as they sprout from seeds that you brought. That'd be kind of
fun. Yeah, lovely. Yeah, it's like a pretty nice hotel room. It's not trying to be something it isn't. You know what you're getting.
It's like, I don't know, staying on a permanently docked yacht in London for a celebration. Final question here. Inspired by Grease's sideburns, what's the worst facial hair configuration you've had?
So there was a time in the 90s where I had gone, early 90s where I had gone full grunge. I had long hair, and then I had an extra long, just goatee, not just the goatee. I had the mustache and the goatee, but nothing on the sides. And the goatee itself had gotten long. Mm. And I decided to cut the long hair. So I just had sort of a floppy 90s hair. With an extra long goatee. It didn't last very long, but that was probably the worst combination.
Ooh, man, we're so similar. It was like we grew up in similar areas. Beards and a simple goatee. Well, actually, I think technically the Van Dyke is what it is, right? I don't know if you look at it. Of the mustache into the little goatee. I've had that. That was the style at the time. I don't think I'd just do that again. It looks like I'm from 1997 or in that Three Musketeers movies with Oliver Platt, Charlie Sheen, and Kiefer Sutherland. and that one. But that wasn't – at the time, it fit. But I say I grew my hair out after high school down to my belt. I had a long, bushy, unkept beard. I looked like Lennon in the summer of 69 at John, not Vladimir. And I was transitioning to, all right, that time was done, and I shaved it down just to a goatee, but I have a cleft chin, a little cleft in my chin, and so the hair grew apart, so I had a 6-inch spike, 2 spikes goatee. And people thought I did it on purpose, but it just was like how the hair grew. And I didn't have beard care products. All that stuff wasn't the talk of the town back then. So I had cut my hair to shoulder length. So exactly what you're saying, that floppy mid-90s, you know, Eddie Vedder. And then this spiked red goatee. My facial hair used to turn bright red. Even though I'm not a Reddit. And so like I had these devil horns coming out of my chin.
And you look like a vampire in the background of a Buffy episode.
Yes. And I look back and there's not a lot of photos. Thank God of it. Their phones weren't cameras at that point. And I didn't even have a cell phone. What am I saying? My friend had a car phone. That was it. So yeah. I look at Grease and I think, man, you feel good now, but careful when you look back on that.
I want to see what those cheekbones look like underneath.
It's amazing. Amazing. Well, that is it. We've reached the end of our discussion. But before we get out of here, as we always do, we're going to rate the wild, weird, and wondrous factor of Grease. Our reading is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, of course, 10 being the most. Joseph, how many Lobot heads do you give Grease Dritus?
I'm going to give him 7 out of 10. There's so much to love about Grease. He is a grump with a heart of gold and 4 arms. He fits into Star Wars great because he's a weird Muppet pilot with rational fear of Dathomir. But the thing that bumps him up to me for a 7 is the great conflict. He hates nature, and yet he must have it on his ship. That bumps him up to a 7.
I'm going to stick in like a solid 6 range, where there's so much of the design that is unique and it is weird. But I think I understand him more than even other characters. I get him. I feel him. There's a part of me that might be Grease. And so therefore it just seems normal to me. So maybe he's 8 to other people, but he's a 6 to me, and at least 1 point for not the 4 arms, not the sideburns, but like the space pants and the whole design. It's a little wonderfully weird. So 6 to me. 7 for Joseph. That is it, my friends. We're out of here on this episode on Databank Dive. If you want to follow us and link to all the other things we do, including our Patreon page, patreon.com/ForceCenter, you can just go to our Twitter page at ForceCenterPod and link from there. You can follow me at KatNapsock or KatNapsock.com. I am playing a Jedi Survivor on my YouTube channel there. If you want to join along on that, take that adventure with me. Maybe Grease will have his day in the sun. We'll see. We're recording this ahead. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Mastodon is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my YouTube page, or I started a Vimeo page as well for my short films. Also, just search for Joseph Scrimshaw there.
Do that, my friends. Do it. All right. For Grease, his sideburns, and all of the characters he makes us think of. We'll see you next time here on Databank Dive.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.